Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. Thanks very much for listening and downloading us. Do tell your friends about us. This is the guest segment. We have a wonderful guest, Amy Medling, author of Healing PCOS, Polycystic Ovary Syndrome, Healing PCOS, a 21-day plan for reclaiming your health and life with polycystic ovary syndrome, published by HarperOne. But before we get to that, just remember, every Tuesday we have a new both author interview, usually guest, sometimes not an author, but a guest, and that's the B segment. The A segment is the news of the week, and it's most importantly not just the news of the week or not just an author, but what it means to you so you can live at the top of your curve. You can always email us at ageprooflife@gmail.com, ageprooflife@gmail.com to suggest authors, suggest topics, suggest questions for upcoming authors that we will tweet about. Thanks, Amy, for coming on. Amy Medling, as I said, is the author of Healing PCOS. We're going to ask her how she got into this in just a second. So, Amy, thanks very much for coming on.
Oh, so happy to be here. Thank you.
Now, how did you, I know, but pretend I haven't read the book or looked at anything, and tell me, how did you get involved in PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome, and in becoming the PCOS diva?
Well, I often hear from women with PCOS who are frustrated and have lost all hope because the only advice their doctors offer is to lose weight, take the birth control pill, and live with their symptoms. And for much of my life, I was one of these women. And as early as age 14, I wrestled with a lot of the common PCOS symptoms, like hair loss and hair growth where you don't really want it, or hirsutism, weight gain, and irregular menstrual cycles. It seemed like this was going to be my fate because PCOS has a genetic component, and my mom dealt with many of these symptoms as well as my grandmother. So I am a woman with PCOS, and I really was able to overcome my symptoms with lifestyle management rather than pharmaceutical drugs that were offered to me that made me feel worse than living with the symptoms.
Now, although you felt worse, a number of other women say they do find success with that. But obviously, lifestyle choices seem to be at least a first approach that one should try. How much do you think that your lifestyle choice before 14 or other women that suffer from this, how much do you think their misguided lifestyle choices, that is the American diet, the American way of life, brings out or turns on the genes that cause PCOS?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So, you know, I think at the root cause of PCOS is inflammation, insulin resistance, and hormonal imbalance. And my standard American diet that I kind of grew up on, you know, lots of bread, white bread, lots of full carbohydrates, I think really triggered inflammation in my body and may have turned on those genes.
So, and when you look at other women, since you've got probably the largest website, which is called, by the way, PCOS Diva, PCOSDIVA.com, you've got the largest number of women with PCOS gathered together on a website anyway. When you look at them, is it, do you think that 40% get relief with lifestyle? Is it 30%? Is it 60%? What's the percentage that you think had misguided, if you will, diets or lifestyle and that get cured by lifestyle?
I would have to say the large majority of women have success with changing their diet to a more anti-inflammatory diet and taking out you know, foods that cause inflammation, you know, whether it's gluten and dairy or other foods that you know, you might have a particular food sensitivity to, combined with, you know, putting together the right type of exercise program that isn't raising your cortisol too much, and then also adding in supplements, stress reduction, you know, really good sleep habits and detoxification. I think all of those lifestyle factors make a big difference for most women.
Now, let's go through your own history, if I can, a little more, and then tell me how typical it is. So when did you first notice that you might be different than the other women or girls in your classes? Was it during, if you will, menarche, or before your first period, during your periods? Was it after you started menstruating? When was it?
Well, I mean, it was really before my first period, where I was dealing with insulin resistance and some really severe hypoglycemia, which actually caused me to pass out a couple times. And I know that doctors didn't really know what was going on, because I was kind of the thin phenotype of PCOS at that time. And I also was dealing with excess androgen, so acne. So this was a little bit later, probably 15, 16. So kind of the jawline acne and hair growth on my chin. And I started getting hair loss. Doctors were sort of chalking that up to stress and the fact that I was and I also had irregular cycles, but a lot of girls that age do as well. And I was also an athlete. So doctors sort of chalked that up to stress and the fact that I was very active at that point in my life.
And so you were active at that point in your life. And were there other girls in your group that had the same thing? What I'm trying to get at is you've got a large experience with PCOS. Does it always develop early in teenage life, or does sometimes it come de novo at age 40?
Yeah, so most women that I hear from have a similar experience as I do. So they start wrestling with symptoms in puberty. But then a lot of women find that PCOS symptoms sort of come after they try to come off of the birth control pill. So there's a thought that there's sort of this post-pill kind of form of PCOS, where the pill sort of triggers, coming off the pill triggers PCOS. So I hear from a lot of women that have that experience as well. So those are probably the two main categories.
Now, you then went on birth control pills, or did you go on metformin first? I know you went on both, and I me the history.
And spironolactone as well. So I was on the birth control pill for about 10 years. But when I was able to have two children with the help of Clomid, which is an ovulation inducer, because women with PCOS often don't ovulate, you know, at all or as often as women without PCOS, and can need some help with Clomid, or now letrozole is another ovulation inducer that is now thought to be sort of first line. But anyway, so, you know, after taking those ovulation inducers and then getting pregnant and then trying to get back on the pill, I had a very difficult time with mood, and it really exacerbated my insulin resistance. I also took metformin in order to get pregnant and kind of regulate my insulin levels, but metformin for a lot of women can cause a lot of GI distress, and that was certainly the case for me. And then I also went on spironolactone, which kind of is sort of can help reduce androgens you know, helped for a time, I think, with the hair issues that I was experiencing. But I came to a point where I really didn't want to be on all of these pharmaceuticals, because they didn't really make me feel very good. And I knew at that point I was about age 32, and I felt like I didn't want to spend the rest of my life, you know, on these pharmaceuticals. I wanted to find another way to really manage my PCOS, and that's why I was really looking for a more natural route.
And so now you had two children, then you had a problem getting pregnant and went on a more natural, as I remember the book, and forgive me, so because I may not remember correctly, but you did, if you will, have another child. Is that correct? Or where in this sequence did you find lifestyle changes?
So after the birth of my second child, and I couldn't kind of get back on those pharmaceuticals, and I knew I had to find another way to manage my PCOS, I really started making some lifestyle shifts. And so that was about 5 years into it. And this is after when I was 17, doctors told me that they would have to jump through hoops to get me pregnant. And then after the help of a reproductive endocrinologist and fertility doctors, they told me it would be very hard for me to get pregnant without fertility treatment. So 5 years later, after adopting these lifestyle changes, at age 37, I became pregnant with naturally. It was actually quite a big surprise, and had a healthy little girl.
And so part of that, if you will, pregnancy, if you will, not only the surprise, but you attributed to getting much better without medications because of the lifestyle changes you made.
Yes. Absolutely. And I see that happening to so many women. Mm-hmm.
So talk to us about the lifestyle changes and what you've adopted to in helping. You do coach other women with this. That's what PCOS Diva is all about, I believe. You can tell me if I'm wrong or tell me how people can access that website. But you do coach women. And where do you start?
Well, I think women have to really get in touch with how food affects their body. And I really teach, you know, I don't think that there's any one-size-fits-all approach to eating with PCOS, because PCOS is a syndrome and it really affects every woman in a different way in terms of symptoms. But I do think that sort of an overlying theme needs to be this anti-inflammatory diet, but really figuring out how food makes you feel and how it, reacts with your body. And for me, I was so out of touch with how food was affecting my body that I needed to use a glucometer to see how what I was eating was affecting my blood sugar. And that was a really first step for me to get in touch with food and what it was doing. So I really talked to a lot of women about kind of using a glucometer to see, to how food is affecting their blood sugar. Because for women with PCOS, we really want to keep our blood sugar balanced and to increase, so we can increase our insulin sensitivity. So that was a huge shift for me. And adding in lots of nutrient-rich plant-based foods. Not that I became a vegan or a vegetarian. I was still eating clean animal protein, but adding lots of vegetables, more so than I was eating before, made a huge difference. And healthy fats. I mean, I kind of grew up in that. I call it the fat-free snack well era, where, those Snackwell cookies were, kind of marketed as good for you. And so I kind of bought into the fat-free movement. So I was just scared of fat. But when I added in things like avocado and nuts and nut butter and olive oil and grass-fed butter, I really started to feel better. And I noticed my cycles becoming more regular. And, the acne starting to kind of subside, and weight loss would happen. And also my moods. Women with PCOS, about 60% have depression or other mood disorders. So I notice my mood lightening and lifting and just feeling better in general. So the food was a big, big step in shifting things for me.
And so food was first. When did you, and now you talk about exercise without it being, as I perceive it, too intense, meaning not stressing you so much as you raise your cortisol level. When did that come about? Did you do that all at the same time?
Yeah, well, I mean, that kind of came later. I think it was the other big shift was approaching diet, not my food diet, not from a place of what I call diet deprivation and denial, but from a place of nourishing myself with nutrient-rich food and really using food as an act of self-care. You know, getting into the kitchen and preparing whole food from scratch became a way of sort of loving myself and my family. And so exercise kind of made a similar shift. Rather than using exercise to sort of punish myself, you think of sort of that calories in, calories out paradigm. So say I had, you know, a donut for breakfast and I'm going to go run for an hour on the treadmill to sort of punish myself and sort of burn those calories. You know, I really made this shift from to exercising from a place of really using exercise and movement as a way of kind of bringing more joy into my life and doing things that I enjoyed doing as a kid again. So, you know, riding my bike and dancing and, you know, I was a big basketball player. So getting outside and playing basketball with my boys and really using, you know, movement from a joyful perspective, but then also realizing that the type of exercise that I was doing was really stressing my adrenals. And a lot of women with PCOS have adrenal issues as well. They have kind of like this concept of an adrenal androgen driven PCOS. So as I was doing exercise like yoga and more mind-body exercise, right now I really love bar workouts. It was calming sort of that stress response, and walking was another, you know, kind of taking the running and bringing it down to walking and interval walking. The weight started coming off. Where it was really, I was having a hard time losing weight, and the inflammation was really decreasing as well.
We're talking with Amy Medling, founder of PCOS Diva, PCOSDIVA.com. She has written the book Healing PCOS, a 21-day plan for reclaiming your health and life with polycystic ovary syndrome. We're running out of time, Amy, and I apologize for that. I haven't led you fast enough along, if you will, to get all of the intensity and discovery in the book. The book has a 21-day plan. We've talked about food choices and an anti-inflammatory diet, exercise that you enjoy, and stress management we haven't gotten into as much as there is in the book. Is there something else I have missed other than go to PCOSDiva.com and you can find coaching and a whole lot of other people with the same problem? And the book is available on Amazon and I think through the website as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, no, it's really available anywhere books are sold, and it's also available on Audible as well.
And anything else you want to impart on us quickly? Because it is a common condition among women, and as you said, it presents often in the teen years with, if you will, undesired weight gain and unexplained weight gain and irregular periods and hair problems and skin problems and acne, and by saying hair, meaning growing hair where you don't want it, and many of the male characteristics that you might not want. Is that, have I captured some of it? And what else should we know?
And I want to say that having PCOS, you're at an increased risk of type 2 diabetes. In fact, 50% of women develop type 2 diabetes by the time they're 40 with PCOS. You're also at higher risk for cardiovascular disease and endometrial cancer. So if you're listening and some of these symptoms sound like you can kind of start, you know, checking them off, it's really important that you, you know, advocate for yourself and, you know, talk to your doctor about the possibility of having PCOS so that you can get, you know, the treatment and care that you need.
Amy, thanks very much. Darian, thanks for wonderful engineering, and especially to our listeners, thank you for downloading us. Tell your friends about us. 51,000 of you can't all be wrong. Hopefully, most of you are right. Amy, thanks for a very fascinating interview. Amy Medling, founder of PCOSDiva.com, a health coach who has a 21-day plan for healing PCOS. Perfect, if you will. You can thrive with PCOS, and she'll show you how. That's the headline on the website. So thanks very much, Amy, for coming on the program. We'll be back next week, not only with the news of the week and what's important to you, but with another great guest. This is Podcast 915, the B segment. Thanks very much for listening.